Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
It's the same game every day. You score one run, you make a bunch of mistakes, they score somewhere between 4 and 10, and then you go to your car. That's the cycle we're on right now. And so everybody's frustrated, and then what I think is maybe even worse is everybody seems confused. So that's kind of the word I've got for Bob Melvin. We're going to go back to the phones in just a sec, and we'll play higher or lower with Dibs here in a little bit, but like, check this out, man. This is Bob Melvin has asked, where do you go from here?
We just got to concentrate on winning a game, not worry about the standings, not worry about where the wild card is. Playing a clean game and winning a game and getting back to playing clean baseball. So, at this point in time, we have to go inning to inning, game to game, not worry about the standings at this point.
Okay, let's talk.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about cleaner baseball in August. How do you do it?
You just go out there and continue to try to play. You probably take a look at some different compliments, like we are at this point in time right now. We might be at the point here pretty soon where we give some guys some days off and look at some other guys. I'd still hate to admit that we're at that point. But we talk about being a pitching and defense team. We've pitched well all year, but our defense has not been good, really, all year. So that's the main part that we need to clean up, and that's the part that really looks bad when you play games like this.
Can we spotlight it, Grandy? Can we do it? Let's get, once again, hey, Bob, how do you play better baseball in August? Just listen for the very first noise that he makes.
You want my real answer? My real answer is we can't. We've got 5 DHs running around with gloves on, and they make mistakes. Although Dom Smith at first, it was a little bittersweet watching him pick it on a dive to his right.
Great,
it's like
play. Great
phenomenal play.
Play.
And Ramos had two actually in left that were, Ramos is on the move, diving catches. That was great. And then Ramos had another play, which, and I'm watching Williamsport in the opening day of the Little League World Series. You won't even see that play from these 12-year-olds. And we saw another one from Elliott today.
Although, in a moment, we'll let you hear Bob Melvin have Elliott Ramos's back on that play. Just open mind.
Okay.
Open mind, everybody. But first, Bomel has asked, hey, you said it's a poor defensive team all year. Is that because some guys are essentially playing out of position?
No, it's not. I mean, look, we've been running out basically the same group of guys here, less a couple. Fitzy was the second baseman for a while. He gets sent down. But no, I mean, it's not like guys are playing completely out of position. So no, we have to get better defensively. We have to take a look down the road at adding maybe some defensive players.
Okay, I actually think that's a pretty fair answer. It's a funny one, but it's a fair answer. Fitz has played right field one time, so let's not act like that's what they've been doing all year. Casey Schmidt didn't come up a second baseman, but he's been at second base all year, and he is a very plus infielder, so he can make that transition. What are we talking about, Devers? And by the way, Devers at first base, for those of you who have been blinded by how awful their results are, there really hasn't been much going on in the way of any negative aspects of Devers over at first base in recent weeks. I think he kind of relatively looks fine.
Yeah.
After some bumps in the first few games, I think he looks fine over at first base.
He looks fine, and looking fine is not good enough when you're going to thrive on being pitching in defense, and Ramos in left has not been fine, and the sneaky rat on the table brought to you by ATCO Pest Control. What's bugging you coming up on Friday? The sneaky one is Patrick Bailey. And you mentioned it earlier, the pass ball today. And, the defense of Bailey is where he's supposed to hang his shingle. And it has not been spectacular. So it's not just the one guy in left. It's kind of a collective defensively.
Okay. Yeah, so really crazy. Was it second inning? Second inning, right? They scored six or seven runs.
Seven.
Okay, and it got really bad, and it kind of started with some bad luck. Would have been probably an inning-ending double play. A little jam looper from Cronenworth, and it bounces off of the second base bag and goes into center field. And then the floodgates open. And later in the inning, there's a rip down the left field line, and it goes off the wall in left field. And Ramos barehands it off the wall. And he turns to throw to either second base or wherever he was supposed to throw. And he basically just throws the ball straight into the ground. He threw a sideways ground ball back to the infield. And everyone here at the studios is laughing, and they're just like, what else? Like, what are you doing out there in left field? So, Bomell, first of all, listen to the call of the actual play.
Hammered down the line. This will bounce up against the wall. And Ramos just let one fly totally away from everybody. And that allows Tatis to score. Yeah. That's unbelievable. And here comes Bob Melvin.
He just spikes it into the ground. Grabs it off of the wall, and I don't know what kind of grip he had, but he throws that ball about 30 feet.
Great noises from Krug. There was a, yeah?
He didn't know what to do. All right. Bomell gets asked about it after the game. Here's his answer.
You're talking about Ramos and his defense. He's throwing to second base, and we're double cut, and we're in the wrong spot as far as the cutoff and relays goes. So he's throwing the ball to second base, sees that nobody's there, and it came out of his hand. So it wasn't his fault. It was more how we were positioned for the cutoff. And then ball gets by, you know, Bailey over his head, and it just looks bad the way we've been playing. It looks horrible. You know, now it's all of a sudden it's 7-0, and we're in the second inning, and the way we've been playing, it's just miserable feeling.
Yeah. So part of it,
man, the size from Bob.
Well, and it does. I guess
that's unbelievable.
It kind of makes sense. Like when you bring your arm back to throw whatever kind of a baseball, football, whatever. When your arm comes back and you're about to let that thing fly, and then all of a sudden something is not where you thought it was going to be. That sort of spike into the ground thing can happen. So Bomell's essentially saying that at least part of this is on the cutoff alignment, which I think goes to Adames.
Well, it goes to what we're watching up here on TV, which is Little League Baseball.
Totally.
And if you want to think about other throws, there was the Casey Schmidt play where Devers tried to cut off the ball and he didn't. Schmidt has it. And the pitcher's going to cover, and it was Tyler Rogers. And Schmidt throws it, and Rogers isn't looking, and it hits the batter runner as he's stepping on first base. That was a throw where, yeah, Schmidt had to double pump because nobody was on the base. And then the other one, Mark, I think you were on your honeymoon, and you subsequently saw it, is when Elliot Ramos just, from 22 feet away, threw it over Adames' head.
Yep, no, I did see it. I don't know
if we were watching it.
Yeah, we're at the airport or something.
Somewhere.
It might have been on my laptop in the hotel room, and I think I
could. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I closed the laptop after that.
Yeah, and so, and there are other throws we can talk about. I don't even know how many other throws I can recall right now, but there have been so many that have just been sloppy fundamentals, and that's where you don't blame the manager for that. You blame the players and the manager. You blame everybody, but what are we doing to fix it? And I know you can't flip the spread, and you can't bench everyone. And I came into Steiny and Goo earlier, and I said, you know, you got to take all eight of them off the field right now and put in a fresh eight. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't even know if they have that.
Like in high school.
Just do a line change?
Remember in high school where the starting five is playing like crap,
yeah,
and you used to be that guy off the bench, and the coach would be like, you, and you, get in there.
Dude, you just flashed me somewhere. There was, because I played kind of the 3-4, and
stretch four.
Yeah, like I think this was, dude, I think it was freshman year. So freshman year, you don't get a whole lot of playing time, but we had a good Frost-Soft team. We never lost a game. It went undefeated. And I'm going to leave his name out of my mouth because it's not fair. He might still live here in the Bay. But the starting four, the starting power forward, he just took, like, we're trying to move, swing it, move the ball around. And he gets the ball kind of out on the wing, and he turns, and just with an overhead pass, just kind of like Ramos, just threw the thing straight into the ground and bounced out of bounds. The coach was so mad. You ever know when the coaches start looking around and, like, just steam's coming out the ears? Yeah. And he doesn't even know what to do. He's so mad he doesn't know what decision to make. So he turns and he looks at the bench, and you can see his eyes just run across the entire bench. And he's just looking, and he points at me, and he goes, "Did they get in there for him?" And I'm like, "Okay." And you go in there for him, and he probably only left me in there for like 4 minutes. And he's like, "Okay, you're a freshman. Now get back out.
Yeah.
Sit back down." But yeah, dude, I get it. It does feel like that.
Yeah, and you can't do that to professional athletes. And unfortunately, you also can't say, "All right, everybody, tomorrow noon, we're taking infield." And that's how you lose the clubhouse. Like Chapman at 32 and Adamas and Devers making $300 million. These guys are most likely not going to want to show up at 2 hours early just to have somebody hit them fungos. But that's what this team needs. Their defense, Bob Melvin just said it, it's been bad all year long.
No question about it. Okay, you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Let's take some calls. Gene in Oakland. Hi, Gene. What are you doing?
I'm at the dog park.
I am at the dog park.
Of course you are.
My happy place. Yeah. All right. Listen, I don't know if I have enough time for all I want to say, but anyways.
Probably not.
Something on the Giants? Probably not. Yeah,
no,
anyways,
yeah, go ahead.
Listen. Gene. All right. A couple of weeks ago, I told you, Bob Melvin is not a crisis manager, all right? And things weren't as bad then as they are now. So I hate to say this, but this team almost looks like a kind of team that's intentionally tanking to get rid of the manager. Now, I don't know why they want to do that. I can't imagine they hate Bob, but it seems to me he's lost the locker room. And once again, you need strong leadership in situations like this. I don't think he has that. So I'm going to repeat what I said then. They should start the search if they haven't already and let the decision to replace him be based on when they find somebody that they really like and they think has a lot of promise. So,
Gene, thank you very much. You might be right. And a few weeks ago, I thought this unfathomable.
Yeah.
And I think Ann's right. Ann Killian just joined us and said, I don't think they're going to make a move in the middle of the season. They literally just extended him in the middle of the season. Now they're going to make a move before the season's over. That would shock me. It would no longer shock me, though, if they make a move after the season. I still would bet against it. If you asked me right now in this moment, I'd still bet against it. But it is absolutely not out of the question. It's not out of the question, which, I mean, what are we? What are we, 2 months since they extended him?
Yeah.
That tells you how bad things are, that you're thinking about that 2 months after extending him.
Correct. And you've got 41 games left to go. I think you've played 121. So, yeah, you've got 41 games left. And if in these 41 you go 15-26 and you wind up with 74 wins, I think that he could be in real jeopardy of returning. And it's not only up to him, obviously. And the whole idea of he needs to motivate these guys, he shouldn't have to motivate Chapman, Devers, and Adamas and Logan Webb and Verlander and Robbie Ray. These are guys who've played enough baseball. They shouldn't need the skipper to say, all right, guys, we need to buckle down and we need to hunker down and we need to do this and we need to do that.
I honestly think that's the weirdest thing that people even talk about in professional life. You're talking about high school, maybe college, maybe certain areas of football, but in professional life, the idea that your boss needs to motivate you, he might need to connect you. He might need to, when he sees, and I should say he or she, when he sees a spot where someone can be helped or revitalized or whatever. But in general, and I'll say this to family members, if you don't have it in you to get the freak out of bed and do what you want to do with your life on a daily basis, that is on you. I don't care what the situation is. Another human being? I'm an adult, and another human being needs to motivate me? I just don't see it that way.
Younger players, I see it, but Steiningoop played.
Younger players should be the most motivated.
Well, sometimes they don't know what they need to work on. Steiningoop earlier today played the cut from Steve Kerr, when he was talking about our correspondent, Brandon Pajemski, yep. and he was pounding on the table, he needs to do this and he needs to do that. And it's like, okay, he realizes that that's the way he can reach Pods and Pods responds to that. So when you're talking about Elliot Ramos, what can motivate him, quote unquote, or help him to be a better outfielder?
I guess I just don't see that as the word. If you're talking about redirect him or whatever, that's fine. But like, if you've got a motivational problem, you have a massive problem.
Well, what do we keep saying about this Giants team? They look listless and disinterested.
I don't think it's the lack of motivation. I think that they're overly discouraged. And so, yeah, they've arrived at the same place we have. It's not going to happen. It's not happening this year.
We have 41 games left. So,
well, they're not.
What are we going to do with these 41? Yeah,
and again, I would argue that those players need to be motivated on their own to show up and do a good job. You're being paid bajillions of dollars to kick ass. Go out there and play hard. I don't need Bob Melvin to go wake people up or poke them in the belly or, win one for the get. What are we doing? Matt Chapman and Willie Adames and Elliot Ramos, who hasn't even been paid yet, can't get out of bed and be like, I need to be amazing today because this is what I do and I owe it to the team and these fans and myself to be awesome. Like that's, I don't know, man, that's every day.
I get the should be part of it, but it's not. So how do you go from what you're saying is true, you're a professional athlete, even Ramos who's not making a boatload, I don't know what he makes, but you're out there every day and your career and your reputation are on the line every at bat. So what is it that's going to make you play better and play with a little bit more of that fire and that sizzle? Because when you watch this team, and it's not just the 5-game losing streak, and it's not an historic home skid, which since they moved out from New York, Mark, they've never lost 13 of 14
ever
at home. So what is it that's going to light a fire under some of these guys? Because right now, you're not seeing the sizzle from this team.
No, you're not. 888-957-9570. Rich Los Altos next up. Hi, Rich. Thanks for calling.
Hey, what's going on?
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Yo!
Yeah, so I think the Giants have a really tough gig because they're trying to tread the line between putting butts in the seats, running a business, and having a competitive team, right? And if they were really trying to be competitive, seeing what the Padres did at the deadline and what the Dodgers have, they would have traded Verlander, maybe, moved some of their pieces to get ready for next year, but they still want to be competitive and give themselves a chance throughout the year. And that's on the players. It's not on ownership. It's not on Buster. It's not on Melvin. That's on the players to go and earn their contracts. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I hear you, Rich. And again, I think that this kind of topic or discussion, it comes up a lot in sports because I don't know that teams are always making decisions based on blame. That's what we do. The media, the fans, we sort of pick, like, what made you mad here? Who's at fault, so to speak? And then we come to that decision, even though, like, we're all sitting here not inside the building, and we don't really know all the pieces that come to be. But I don't think the Giants think this is Bob Melvin's fault. That also doesn't necessarily protect Bob Melvin, though. You can't fire the players.
Correct.
You don't want to fire the players. Some of these players are good baseball players. They have a track record. They've got experience. They're good. But if there's a blend that doesn't work for whatever reason, then sometimes that means new leadership needs to be there, even when it wasn't necessarily all that person's fault. So that's why I don't think Bob is in the greatest spot right now.
He's not. And if you look at last year and this year, they're almost identical. And I think this year's team is better on paper, But you have players on this team this year who are underperforming, almost all of them. Willy Adames is almost 100 points lower in his OPS than what his career would have indicated. Now, part of that is a ballpark factor. I'll give you that. But he was really bad early. He got hot for about 6 weeks, and now he's kind of back in that same funk. So what is it that is going on that has him struggling, and what can you do to help him and others get out of that funk?
Jim in Daly City is next. Hi, Jim. Thank you for calling.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Great.
Willard, I heard you say on my way here to my friend's house how you were talking about how you consider some baseball teams like schedule fillers, and they don't really try, like the Pirates and the Rockies and that sort of thing. And I just wanted to get some clarification from you on what you meant. Do you mean that the ownership isn't trying? Do you mean that the players in those situations don't try as hard because they realize?
Most definitely ownership. Most definitely ownership, Jim, is what I mean. That they're and you'll hear actual players in the game say this. This is a major part of future collective bargaining discussions, is that there are a number of teams that are operated in such a way that they are not necessarily worried about competitiveness. And so, yeah, Jim, I am not coming down the road of any individual player on any of these teams.
Okay. Well, I can live with that, and I understand what you're saying, which is why I wanted the clarification. But I venture to say that some of these teams, the Pirates, the A's, and that sort of thing, that they're even ahead of what maybe where the Giants are, based on the fact that the Giants have all of these advantages behind them. They have better rosters, probably better leadership, definitely better ownership, and they're still not able to separate from some of those teams. The A's are only like 4 games less in the win column than the Giants, and they lost 20 out of 21 in May or something like that. So it's kind of weird to me that, you know, a team that can spend so much for a payroll and have all of these advantages and still aren't able to stay, keep a fair distance between themselves and the teams that are really fighting even their own ownership.
Jim, thanks. Yeah, I agree completely. I agree completely with Jim. Not necessarily that those teams are in a better spot than the Giants, but yes, it's kind of less embarrassing if you only have 50 wins or something like that, but you have an owner that's not worried about it and not putting good players around you. Yeah, you could make an easy argument right now that the San Francisco Giants, based on payroll, based on the moves made, the aggressiveness shown, you could make the case that they have had the worst year of any team in the entire bigs.
There are 11 teams with a worse record, and as you go through them, the Rockies, the Nats, the White Sox, they are bad and not caring about being decent. The A's are the A's. We know that. Baltimore traded everybody for prospects. The Twins are kind of a funky team where they don't spend as much as the Giants, but they should be better than they are. The Braves is, I mean, that's baffling how bad they are. I know they had big injuries early, but the Braves should be better than they are. So they might be the second biggest disappointment, or maybe they're a bigger disappointment. But the teams the Giants are ahead of, the majority of them are the non-spenders. And then it's you, the Giants, with a .488 win percentage now. Yeah.